Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to a Halloween special of Rusty Quill Gaming.
Ooh! The studio has been temporarily relocated over an Indian burial ground.
Ooh. And also pentagrams and
they're
evil
everywhere.
Robot zombies.
All over the walls. Alex is made entirely of human blood.
I regret nothing.
Yeah.
Got a skeleton inside me.
So, hello.
I just came in fancy dress. I'm wearing a Star Trek costume. I think maybe I misinterpreted the requirements.
Awkward.
Oh, we didn't even notice you were in costume. How are you dressed?
So, we're doing a Halloween special. Hello, this is, should be coming out on Halloween. If it's not, something's gone terribly wrong. Speaking of things that have gone terribly wrong, Ben. Where's Ben?
I thought that chair looked thinner.
Yes. There's a certain absentee today who's clearly missing and presumed suspiciously missing.
Oh dear.
Yes.
Now, we thought we'd shake things up today and play a slightly different game. Rather than doing the standard Pathfinder actual play RPG, rah, we're going to be doing a sort of slimmed down, quick and easy version of a game called Dread. Dread is an RPG which is played where instead of rolling dice and things like that as your modifiers for did I succeed in opening that door, closing that door, killing that person, we remove blocks from a certain game which has lots of wooden blocks, Jenga, and we effectively play a turn every time, and if the tower falls, you die.
That's a really
in
nice...
real life?
Yes, because it's a Halloween special.
Oh, that's a problem. I've got plans.
I also have stuff on later, which will make death quite the nuisance.
Well, then just do better at the Jenga.
I am terrible at Jenga. I anticipate lasting about 10 minutes.
This is excellent news. So, one thing to know about Dread is that normally they allocate archetype roles to people. However, we're doing a super slimmed down version you could do with your friends or your family or other people that you wouldn't want killed on Halloween. But it's just quick and easy and fun. One other thing, you shall not be playing characters this scary Eve. You shall be playing versions of yourselves. Bryn.
Yes, Alex.
You awake in a dark room. A small amount of light is coming in through a half-open window. Curtains flutter. You have yet to be able to make out the details of the room, it is clearly dark and scary.
Am I in a bed?
You are in a bed.
Okay.
It's comfy. It's quite downy on the pillow side in a nice way, but a scarily nice way.
I turn over and attempt to go back to sleep.
James, you wake up in a bedroom. This is significantly brighter. There is a nightlight on. It has little stars. However, you notice that you did not remember entering this building. The last thing you remember is going to sleep in your own bed, which is not this bed.
Oh, it sounds like I've had one of my famous nights out. I look around for more observable details of the room.
Draw your first block, James.
That's my master plan, is not to do anything that would require a check of any kind.
Remain inert.
Stay in bed. Also, I'm playing myself, and therefore it's accurate and in character. James has successfully placed a block.
Okay. You look around, and you see you are in a fairly standard bedroom that's been decorated really distastefully. There is really, really clashing colours all over the place, and lots of posters of Star Wars characters.
Well, either those curtains go or I must, I declare, and march purposefully towards the door.
Do you attempt to open the door?
No, I examine the door for traps.
Remove a block. Ooh. Retrospectively, there's going to be lots of silence on the track. I need to start bullying you guys as you draw. You search the door for traps. You find instead a key tucked beneath the bottom. It's almost like it was put there, tantalising you.
I don't have your will safe being tantalised, do I? I just pick up the key and use the key on the door. Because I'm a fool, and I'm willing to take that chance. I'm going to seize life by the horns, and by the horns, I mean the key. And by life, I mean the keyhole. And then I'm going to shove life... the horns into going. Life. And open the door, in inverted commas. Uh-huh.
Yep. Okay.
With the key.
The door of opportunity.
That's what I'm doing. It used to be the door of crisis, but I thought I'll sunny side up it.
God closed your windows, but you opened a door too.
Which is not helpful. It's not helpful. Like opening a window, it's not as helpful a way of entering or leaving a building. That's why burglars would prefer to use the door.
It's true. It's true.
The parable assumes that we're on the ground floor.
That's true.
Is one of the many reasons it's out of date.
Lydia!
Yeah.
You awaken in a dark room.
Right.
However, this room, unlike the others, is actually quite well furnished.
Nice.
It's got a king-size bed, 4-poster, lots of drapes around the outside.
Boom.
There is a chandelier of guttering candles which is lit, although they have little sorcery things on the bottom so that the wax doesn't drip down onto the floor.
Nice, practical.
Mm.
It sounds like a great room. I'd stay in this room, aren't you?
It is a featureless room, apart from lots of lovely furnishings. So by featureless, I mean it's really well...
featured.
Really well featured. Very, very featureful.
Features.
It's featureless, in a way.
There is a sound coming. There is a sound coming from the far side of the main door to the bedroom.
I put a pillow over my head and go back to sleep.
You cannot sleep through the sound. It is too annoying.
No!
It is grating and low and gravelly.
I shout, shut up.
Is it
James,
is
you it hear me? Lydia shouting, shut up, from another room.
I continue to open the door, which I'm presumably on the other side of.
Yes, you find yourself in a hallway. There is a very plain rug running left to right. To your left are two doors, and on the far side of the corridor are three other doors. There are a set of stairs leading down. Also, if you care to look around, I'll get you to pull a block.
I'm going to look around.
Pull a block.
I'd just like to point out that allegedly I snore like a pneumatic drill. So these guys can probably hear that.
Bryn, you snore like a horse being cut in half. Like, you do.
It doesn't bother me, but apparently anyone within the same building.
Postcode. Bryn, you've pronounced postcode
that's
wrong.
That's so strange that it doesn't bother you. How weird. How spooky.
I'm just saying, they can probably hear that.
Pull your block, James.
Okay. I should point out, I'm the only person taking any risks so far. This is my third block.
No.
This is riveting podcasting.
Yeah.
It wobbled a bit. Listeners.
Looking around, you see there is an attic sort of ceiling hatch in the corridor above you. You hear Lydia again yelling, "Shut up, James," from one of the rooms across the way.
Why would I shout, James? I don't know, it's him. Actually, it's very annoying.
It was, yes, you see, you have to make it. I'm working under the assumption that you'd assume straight off the bat, I mean.
Look,
you know.
Can we just explore the Venn diagram of the logic that's being presented here? So there are annoying things in Lydia.
There's no time for logic, it's
James.
Scary.
I'm the only annoying thing. You are annoyed by a thing, therefore it must be me. Is that what we're saying?
The Venn diagram is more of a circle.
Bryn, you cannot go to sleep. You rolled over, and the bed is getting colder and clammier as you lie there.
I think you have not spent any time in the same bedroom as me, because I can sleep through anything.
This is a Halloween.
Shall I pull a block to stay asleep?
Yes, you shall pull three blocks to stay asleep. I am afraid you're choosing to stay asleep in an RPG-based adventure.
How am I going to die by staying asleep?
Aneurysm.
I think that's how a lot of people die.
Peacefully,
nicely.
Surrounded by fat grandchildren. It's fairly traditional.
I've decided that this version of the game will punish inactivity more than anything else.
Well played, sir. Well played. Okay, time to change my tactics.
What's the third block?
No,
now?
Bryn, stick with it. We believe in you and your power to sleep through.
Oh man, that went really well. Yeah. That's the best Jenga I've ever done.
Bryn, you roll over and quietly fall back to sleep.
Hells to
James
air.
And Lydia, a I'm... sound suspiciously like a horse being sawn in half, approaches you creepily from one of the rooms
approaches
next to James's.
Us.
Yes, it takes that long because there's that much inertia with the volume.
Right, okay. So I assume, therefore, the air is maybe really dense?
Yeah, definitely.
It's viscous and unpleasant
viscous,
with musk.
Unpleasant air.
It is clammy.
Right, well, given what I've discovered of Lydia's view of me, I just march off down the corridor in the direction of the sound of the horse being cut.
Wait, is that a use of out-of-character knowledge? Or where's the line between me if and my character?
That's part of the horror.
Bro. Are you unsettled, Bryn? Are you unsettled? Then I'll continue. So, James, you approach the door, you find the door. Do you try to open the door from which the snoring is coming?
I try to open the door from which the snoring is coming.
Move a block.
Dead easy.
The door opens, revealing Bryn, snoring on his back in a room which, again, it feels cold and clammy. It is unpleasant. How anyone could sleep through such a room is frankly disturbing enough.
Bryn, wake up, wake up, Bryn, wake up, Bryn, wake up, Bryn. Bryn,
I shall shut up.
Bryn,
wake up, Bryn. I'm awake.
Good. We found ourselves in mysterious darkened rooms for unspecified purposes. Ooh, I think I might have had an amazing night out. And
I'm rarely involved in your amazing nights out. What am I doing here?
I try and get out of my room to come and tell them to be quiet.
Remove a block.
Oh, I get to play, finally.
Ooh. You open the door and don't die.
Yay.
Directly opposite you, you see an open door and James yelling at Bryn to get up.
Oh, Lydia, how nice to see you. All of those words are in bunny ears, by the way.
It is at this point,
sentence for a face.
Yeah.
It is at this point that both Bryn and Lydia remember. Both of you also went to sleep in your own respective houses last night.
James.
After a quiet one, watching the programmes of your choice.
James, did we have a good night out?
We didn't. We had a mediocre night in.
Oh, that's odd.
I haven't noticed. I'm not in my own bedroom yet because I'm still half asleep. I'm going to get out of bed, though, and...
Remove a Jenga block!
Oh, dear. For getting out of bed. I almost want to fail on every check to see how that particular check causes me to die.
You get out on the wrong side of bed and become a bit cross.
Yeah.
That's
you're
the thing.
Tangled in the sheets, slammed down, your head hits the side of the bed.
Yeah.
Clonk.
I know that you're a slow riser, Bryn, so I have to make it extra hard in these early stages.
Sure. I wander into the corridor and start checking doors, looking for a loo, because the first thing I always need to do when I wake up is pee.
The first door you attempt to open is locked.
I try a different one then.
The second door you try to open is also locked on that floor. You do, however, see beneath the first door, much like James's room, a key left invitingly beneath in the crack.
I grab the key.
You grab the key. What do you do next?
I open the door.
No, you remove a block.
All right. I don't think I've worked out this is a horror scenario yet.
Yeah, no, none of us have, really. It's just it's a nicer house. Like, cool.
It's a house that you're going around in London going, God, I'd love to live here. Yeah, it's really so nice. Damp, but in a good way, not like where I live.
What's the commute like?
I mean, once I've peed, I'll start to notice my surroundings, but nothing else could happen.
You
first.
Successfully open the door.
Is it a loo?
The first thing you see is blood. The second thing you see is a lot of blood. And splayed out in the middle of the floor is Ben's body! Blood is coating the floor, the carpets are sodden, it's upon the ceilings, the windows. He appears to have multiple wounds, he's lying face down.
I swear copiously and back out.
Very well.
Hearing the sound of a horse screaming, I run down the corridor to see what's going on.
You see something exactly like what I just described to Bryn!
I trudge after them.
You also see the same thing again.
Ben!
Who's got a phone? We need to call 999.
Oh, what are we wearing?
You find that you are all wearing pinstriped pyjamas, none of which you own. But they all fit you like someone new.
Oh, that's nice. Quite nice pyjamas.
They're silk. The weave's quite dense. It's pleasant.
That's cool.
If it weren't for this obvious murder, yeah. I'd be quite enjoying this scenario.
This is cool. Yeah.
You hear a scratching coming from the door behind
what's
you.
What's going on? I'm really confused and I still need to pee.
Maybe Ben wanted to share a house with us, but there are only 3 rooms in this place and we decided to rent it.
And he nobly took it upon himself to kill himself and splay his guts open and bleed all over the carpet so we could all get a room.
Well, look, housing is hard to find.
We all went to bed in our own beds last night, so clearly something supernatural has happened.
There is a scratching coming from the door behind you, the closed door opposite to the one which you are currently standing in whilst looking at Ben's bloody body, which you're taking amazingly well.
I'm really not, but I'm still. I actually cope very well in a crisis. And this is not the first time I've had to deal with a bloody body. Let me tell you.
Ooh, yeah, and also there's another Meredith brother that I quite like. So it's like, well, this is fair.
But I we need a phone. And there's some scratching. Let's try and open that door. I try and open the door with the scratching.
Well, I'm going to stop Brent from opening the door with the scratching. I'm going to look around for a weapon before we start doing that.
Remove a block.
It might be someone else in trouble.
Yeah, and dude, it's just...
Ben, I'm still looking around for a weapon.
It's quite suspicious that we find a friend dead, and then when we hear someone else moving around, the first thing that you do is grab a weapon.
It's a defensive gesture.
Right. Was this a defensive gesture?
Seems very aggressive to me.
Yeah. Right. Well, be that as it may, I can't argue with your obviously wrong perceptions.
Looking around, you find a candle holder on one of the walls appears quite
loose.
Oh my
god, we're in a game of Cluedo!
If you could grab it and yank it, you could probably pull it out of the wall and wield it as a weapon.
I grab the candlestick wall sconce and wield it as a weapon.
I will allow it because I already made you pull the block.
Yep.
You are now wielding a candle sconce.
Good.
I'm still trying to open the door. Do I get to pull the block?
You were trying to open the door, yes. Pull a block.
No!
That was so incredibly close.
Like the top 2/3 of the Jenga block just leaned to about 15 degrees.
God, that was close.
And I managed to sort of write it. I dropped the block.
Jenga described
okay,
is a lot less.
Yeah, it's okay. The tower has not fallen.
I'm placing it somewhere.
Yeah, Jenga described.
I didn't die.
Jenga described isn't quite as dramatic as Jenga played or watched, which is one of the reasons why it appears so little in the great canon of Western literature.
Bryn opens the door,
just.
And immediately, an animated toilet duck flies at your head. And apparently, there is one of the toilet ducks used for cleaning toilets, but it's alive. It's quacking. It's gone crazy rage. It's got big plastic wings, and it flies at your head. What do you do?
I both shout and act the word duck.
Pull the block.
Because I can still be funny even when my life is in immediate danger. I told you I'm terrible at Jenga. I'm definitely going to die quite soon.
You successfully duck.
This tower is wobbling every time I go near it.
The duck then flies straight past you towards James's face. What do you do?
I'm going on a duck hunt, iTunes sensors. I attempt to knock the duck out of midair using a powerful swing of my no longer wall-mounted candlestick sconce.
Do you use power attack?
Wrong.
Pull two blocks.
Ooh.
Oh, you're one of those people that tests every block.
With two? I mean, I wouldn't otherwise.
Bertie wouldn't test both blocks.
Bertie would just, like, hammer this at the base or just jiggle Prin's arm.
He'd go, no, Bertie would go all Gordian knot on it and just chop it down the middle and have two separate towers.
Okay.
You remove two blocks successfully. You swing your candle sconce and slam the toilet duck hard. It flies and smacks against the wall and the top pops off and green goo, which is actually quite nice smelling, flies out from where its head used to be and it falls to the ground defeated.
Ha! Take that. That serves you right for trying to sanitize a room in some way. You.
I'm assuming that the room the toilet that came out of is a bathroom.
It is.
So I'm going to pee. No, don't make me
pee. Remove a block!
I'm not dying while peeing. I refuse.
Then be very careful.
Then cross your legs. I think that's the...
I can't do this. If I die while peeing, I'm going to be so grumpy.
This is okay. Brynn has passed this skill challenge.
Yeah.
I have successfully peed.
You go and urinate successfully. Congratulations.
We
applaud. We cheer.
I've made a small sign.
Go, Brynn.
Yeah. Oh, there's a balloon.
And then I put down the toilet seat because I'm still polite, even in a crisis.
You all hear a voice. You'll never find me.
But we have. We've audibly found you.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah.
Don't answer the stupid voices. Come on, guys. Let's address this rationally, not like characters in a horror movie.
Where are you? How much is this per calendar month?
Please find a phone.
Can you get proper speed broadband in this quite spooky, clammy place?
What is the nearest tube stop?
I feel like the base is in a significantly lower end flat.
Yeah. Can I check? This is quite clammy, but is there any like black mould around? Because I'm seriously considering renting this.
Yes. There is black mould which renders the place completely untenable.
Oh.
That's funny for several real life reasons.
Yeah.
I still want to find a phone, guys.
Right.
Can we address this situation with some of the...
Oi, findy McMate, do you have a phone? We need one. Our mate is kind of hurt.
There is a thump from the ceiling above you.
I think he's trying to give us a phone.
I disagree. He says we'll never find him. I don't think we should contradict him. He might be angry when contradicted.
Fair enough. Mate, do you know where there's a phone?
There is another thump. A trickle of dust comes from the closed trapdoor.
Well, I'm not going up there.
No, why would we possibly go up there?
Let's see.
Where the creepy voice is coming from.
Were there any weapons left in Ben?
Oh, that is gruesome.
I'm leaving on this. I'm going to search Ben.
No.
Remove the block.
Ben. Oh, do you want to search Ben?
You must both remove blocks at the same time.
Oh, you're both going to die. And I'm going to be left on my own to die. They're actually doing it. They're both simultaneously.
Oh, look at that. Both
they
of you.
So much better
simultaneously.
Than me.
Teamwork. Very gentle.
Yeah.
I would have failed immensely.
You roll Ben's body over and find thousands of tiny puncture wounds.
Ugh.
But there are no weapons. Ugh. You do, however, hear a scuttle from the antique sideboard to your right-hand side.
I am going back to search the bedroom I woke up in for a phone.
There is no phone. There is a phone cord socket, but it appears to be torn out from the wall.
It's all right, we don't need a landline. Anyway.
Also, there's very poor fire safety.
Oh.
Lots of daisy chaining of electricals, that kind of thing.
I'm going to search in the other bedrooms that these two woke up in for phone things of any kind.
The door slams behind you, Bryn.
Oh, dear.
All of the doors shut. James and Lydia, you were locked in with the body of Ben.
Oh,
you are on your own.
Great. Yeah. Awful. Ah, curses. Right, maybe we could... Is there a window? Maybe we can leave by the window.
There is a window.
Oh, cool. I attempt to open the window.
The window is nailed shut. I told you there was poor fire safety.
This is really unsafe.
I'm going to attempt to smash the window. I'm going to look out of the window first. I'm going to look out the window. What's going on out the window? What floor are we on?
You see only rolling mists.
I smash the window with my no longer wall-mounted candlestick.
Pull a block. White mist begins rolling in. You cough. You splutter.
What was that? Are you guys okay?
Yeah. When you hear a shatter.
Are you okay?
Yeah, we're fine. I try and open the door that slammed behind us.
As you go towards, the mist continues to roll into the room. It burns. It prickles where it touches you, James. Remove a block.
Do you let poisonous mist into this house, James?
Maybe a little bit of poisonous mist.
It just happened.
You splutter. You manage to pull yourself away from the fog, but it still burns and stings where the fog touched you. It's slowly pouring across the room towards
James, you. James, are you okay? I can hear you coughing. It's a really loud cough.
It sounds disgusting.
It's vile. It's a really horrible cough. Like the worst cough.
I try and use the objects that are available in the room to try and stuff the broken gap in the window.
First, Lydia, you were trying the door. Remove a block. So Lyd's twisting the entire tower here to get one right from the bottom. Oh, success.
Who has skills? I got skills.
You find the door is closed, but not locked. You open it.
Hooray.
James, to you. The mist is continuing to roll. You attempt to search for something to stuff in the window. Remove a block.
I'm going to use Ben's body if that... I wouldn't say I'm sorry, Ben, but you've passed usefulness. I assume you're on the organ donor register. This is just a logical extension of that.
You successfully managed to pluck an exposed liver from Ben. Power your way through the fog and jam it into the now smashed window, blocking it up. The fog begins to dissipate, but not before you breathe in some and it makes you cough. It's really horrible and quite tingly.
James is making sounds that are no different from normal, as you can tell. We're fine.
Nasty mist outside.
Nasty mist.
Okay, so we probably shouldn't go outside.
No, maybe we should go upstairs and find the shouty dude.
No, I still think that's about it. Let's find out what's in the rest of the house and keep looking for a phone. I still think a phone should be our first priority.
Yep.
So what do you do?
Search the whole house for a phone.
That's quite a lot of house.
Is there stairs going down?
There are stairs going down.
So we're not splitting up.
Yes, we are not splitting up.
He's got a weapon, which is cool. Can I also find a weapon?
Remove a block.
Oh, dear. So I guess... do I need to describe what kind of weapon I'm trying to find?
Yes.
Okay, well, are there any lamps?
Yes.
I pick up a lamp for the metal sticky.
The fact that James decided to tear a candle sconce from the wall rather than take the readily available lamps.
Lots of guns lying around. Not the mantelpiece. You just thought, why not?
I pick up the gun from the mantelpiece. Do I get a gun?
I will allow you to pick up the gun from the mantelpiece. Remove a block.
Does it have any bullets in?
Remove the block.
Oh.
Better shoot yourself in the face if you get it wrong. Quite the wobble. You successfully climb up onto the mantelpiece and pluck the double-barreled shotgun, which is mounted there, and pull it down.
I check for bullets.
There are no bullets in the gun.
Well,
I can still whack people over. Yeah, cartridges. Do they have cartridges in? Are you just being picky? Does that have cartridges in it?
You find a single bullet, completely incompatible.
I take it anyway. I can threaten people or whack them over the head.
Does it have any of our names on it?
It does not. So, you are heading downstairs, yes?
Have we explored every room on this floor yet?
There remains the attic.
We're not going in the attic.
No. Then yes, you have explored everything on this floor.
And there's still no phone.
There's still no phone.
I'm going to propose, if we're all going to be staying together, I reckon that there's a risk that when we go down the stairs, that one of the stairs will collapse and plunge one of us into a cellar or something.
Okay, you go first.
I think we should all hold hands as we go downstairs.
You two have got weapons. I'm not getting weapons because I know I'll be useless with one. I'll go first. I'm the heaviest.
You go in the middle, Brent. Yeah. That's fine. You go in the middle of the holding hands and I will stand on one side.
I will use my considerable bulk to shield the two of you from danger.
Oh.
That's very sweet.
Yeah.
We all know I'm going to die first.
So, you head down the stairs. Bryn, remove a block.
Wobble.
Never become a surgeon, Bryn.
It's shimmying, really. Mm. It's tantalising, this Jenga tower. Well done.
Not dead yet.
Successfully shielded us with your flesh.
I know my role.
Bryn heads down the stairs. There is a creak. There is another creak. There is a click. And suddenly a pendulum blade swings in front of your face, but you stopped because you are quick. You may have the girth, but you're quick. You head down the stairs and you find yourself on another floor. There are four doors.
I think you should know, when there were lots of other available objects, James chose to use Ben's liver to
stuff
the window. Oh. So I think he might be the murderer. Just so you know.
Thanks for your support.
You head down the stairs and find yourself in a hallway. There are doors to the left of you, doors to the right, and here you are in the middle of a staircase! Directly opposite from you is a large double door. It looks like it might be a front door. Behind the staircase, there appears to be another double door.
Yeah, don't
Should
open the front
the
door.
Small rooms first.
Yeah.
A voice comes out again, seemingly from nowhere. You're getting warmer.
I thought you said you didn't want us to find you. That was your very strong implication. Are you the same voice as earlier, or are you just being deliberately capricious and contradictory?
There is no response.
Mate, do you have a phone?
Have I shamed you into silence? Is that what I've done?
You're the worst spooky voice I've heard in the last half hour.
You haven't made any of us even wet ourselves. It's not impressive.
No.
There was a lavatory, we could have all comfortably used that.
James, remove a block for deconstructing. If you're going to deconstruct anything, deconstruct the tower! Not the conceit of the game.
Done.
Successful.
Both successfully.
Your sarcasm is noted. What do you do?
We'll look in one of the small rooms.
Which room?
The one on the left.
You go into the one on the left. You find a dark room. But as your eyes grow accustomed, you see a flickering, and one of the walls appears to be slightly grey and slightly flecked. You realise it's a screen.
Oh, nice.
There is what's left of a cinema screen, real playing. You look, and as your eyes grow more accustomed, you see. Remove a block, Lydia.
This is guys, they've got a retro cinema in.
Yeah, we definitely can't afford to rent this place. Yeah.
What do I see?
Successful.
What do I see? Yay.
You slowly become accustomed, and you see three skeletons sat upon cinema chairs. They have been chained down. There is popcorn in one of their holders and a mutual Coke which appears half drunk. There is still light coming from the projector behind them. They appear to have scratched something into the seats in front of them.
Well, the thing is, if the Coke is still half there and the popcorn hasn't rotted away, then these are not people that chained here.
That's a
and
good point.
It must be just
Thank
skeletons.
You for thinking
clearly. Like people from a medical
Do you
department
think this
or
Coke
something.
Is safe to drink because I could really use the caffeine.
Yeah, I think probably. Well, let's take the lid off and look.
So you look in and you find that the Coke indeed is still apparently drinkable. Do you attempt?
I drink the Coke.
Remove a block.
Yeah, I thought so. Coke will never kill me.
We need to know
I love Coke. It's my life.
We need to know if it's fizzy.
Yeah.
That's an important clue.
Yeah, is
I'm
it
drinking
flat?
It regardless, but is it fizzy or flat?
The Coke is flat! It tastes okay, but it's definitely flat and quite warm. But as you reach across to drink the Coke, you look and you see what they've scratched into the back of the chairs.
There was a kid.
I needed the caffeine. It's not a big deal.
On the chair on the left, it says, "Oh God, I shouldn't have been sarcastic." And on the right, it says, "Why won't he let us leave?" ? Because they've got good grammar.
Ow. So someone must have put these skeletons here and chained them down and then scratched.
I mean, there's no evidence of rotting stuff at all.
No.
And it takes a long time
like
to form a skeleton.
Hundreds of years for everything
so
to rot
these
away.
These cannot be real.
No. Suddenly, without warning, the cinema screen comes to life.
Oh, but
a title sequence starts playing.
What if the poison mist rots, like, takes flesh away? Because that burns.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
On the other hand, it probably would have taken the popcorn
what's on the
too.
Screen?
Yeah.
As the credits roll, you realise you are watching the beginning of Night of the Living Dead. Apparently someone's put it on loop, because you heard it click and reset and play.
I don't really like horror movies.
Can we have a look at the other room?
Really into Hammer horror.
Next room.
Opposite or beside?
Opposite.
Opposite. You open the door and you find a dining room.
Ooh.
It's well appointed. There is silver cutlery.
There are china plates.
You grab a knife. It's not a steak knife, but it would do.
I will find the most lethal-looking knife.
Remove a block!
Hey!
Wow!
I'm getting better at reading the Jenga tower.
Yeah,
and
he
noticing
is.
Which ones are easy to
I eat the ones right at the top.
The next time I find one that's not, I'm just going to be like...
You are going to have to do something. Our skills are too powerful. You're going to need to do something to us.
What's that? You take a step across the room. Remove seven blocks! So, yes, you successfully take a knife. It doesn't appear to be too difficult. Nothing goes off, nothing goes wrong.
Is there any food?
There are little notes on each of the plates. Would you care to read one?
Yes.
Yeah, sure.
Remove a block.
Okay.
Because reading's hard, but yes, worth the effort.
Stay in school, kids.
She's got skills.
You lean down to read one of the notes. Yes. A circular saw suddenly pokes out from the table, ow, sweeps across, and instead of killing you, instead gives you an artful fringe by fluke.
Oh, nice. Cool. Yeah, I've got a new hairdresser, but I wasn't, you know, wasn't that keen, so this is nice.
The note says, there's only food when you're finished.
This is very annoying. I want food.
That's confusing and unclear. No.
Yeah, like, so...
Also, does that mean that we're only going to be given dinner once we've finished dinner?
Do we need to, like, play act dinner? Because I'm happy with that. Nom, like, nom, nom,
still,
nom, nom.
There still isn't a phone in this room. Let's check the next room.
Right, fine. Big room, ahoy.
The one next to the dining room.
Very well. You head across. Do you try to open the door?
Yep.
Remove a block.
No, Bruno.
Hey, that one's not bad. No.
Oh, it's getting a bit sketchy now, Bryn. You successfully open the door, hooray, and suddenly a house elf flies at you, wielding a kitchen blade. He swipes, realizes who you are, and goes, I'm so sorry, please, please don't hurt me, we're sorry. And then a chorus of cries from inside the kitchen go, we're sorry, we're sorry.
That's fine. Who are you, Mr. Elf?
What?
Or
what
Miss Elf? What, I don't know.
What and who and where and why?
I don't even know what franchise you're from.
Yeah.
The elf returns to the kitchen and begins chopping and talks over her shoulder. Please, we're sorry. We'll keep making you incredibly bad fast food. Just please don't
I'm on a low-salt diet, so if you wouldn't mind avoiding salt, that would really help me.
Low salt? What will we do? All of the elves begin panicking.
So, chips?
The elves whip you up some chips.
Excellent.
Remove a block!
Cool.
I'm definitely dead if I eat one of these things.
I was actually trying to be cavalier in that one, because I thought chip death
would be your cavalier looks like my incredibly careful.
I was trying to be pretty, no.
The chip is delicious.
Yeah.
The elves then say, we're sorry.
Where are we? Who are you? What are you?
We are the elves. We make the food that the master eats.
Well, who's the master?
The master is the one that came before. He will not let us leave. He will not let you leave.
What does he look like?
He is gross and enormous. He has a squinting eye and bad sort of vaguely teenage-esque facial hair.
Is the master human?
Yes!
Where is the master?
The master knows all. The master sees all.
That was not answering the question. Where is
there
the master?
A phone?
There are no phones.
Ugh.
Can I have some more chips?
Yes, there are more chips.
Excellent.
Here's a patch. I'm not going to get you remove a block because it's the same chips. There's more of them.
Is everyone properly hydrated? This is a kitchen. We should at least get some water while
I am hungry and thirsty. I would like a chicken salad and maybe a smoothie.
Have you got any fresh
We do not say that word here!
Smoothie?
No! Chicken. Salad! No!
Salad!
The elves all begin picking up various kitchen implements and begin coming at you like a horde.
Maybe
tell us where the master is, or we will say the word that you do not enjoy again.
The master moves freely. He is the only one that can leave the building. Sometimes he is in the attic, sometimes he is in the cellar. Rarely is he in the kitchen because he doesn't enjoy cooking for himself.
Is he more likely to be in the cellar or the attic?
Yes!
If you had to guess on pain of the mention of a low-fat entree, whether he was in the attic or the cellar, little elf, if you had to guess, which would you say?
Half of the elves say, the attic! The other half begin shouting, the cellar. They slowly drown each other
right,
out.
Stop.
Do you have any fruit?
Yeah. No! Why? Oh. Why would you say
elves,
that?
Elves, which of you is the cleverest elf?
They all stand up and say, I am!
There's a weird Spartacus moment where an elf stands and goes, I am! The other one goes, I am! The other one goes, no, you're not, you're rubbish! And then they all begin fighting one another and scrapping violently.
We're
all of you remove a block.
At the same time.
Same time?
Golly.
Yes.
How will you tell which one of us dies?
Maybe all of you will die.
Fair.
Not me.
I survive.
So do I.
The elf-based riot goes on. Knives fly wildly, as does a spatula. A pan briefly flies straight at Lydia's head, but you manage to duck.
Right.
You all survive the elf-based riot. Eventually, one of them is pushed forward. I'm the cleverest.
Right, cleverest elf. Would you say the master is more likely to be in the cellar or the attic?
The cellar, probably.
Right.
Okay. And Mr. or Ms. Elf.
Yes.
Does the master have any particular weaknesses that we might exploit?
The master has many weaknesses. He is fat and slow. He overestimates his strength, but he has us all bent to his whims.
How does he have you bent to his whims? What power does he have over you?
He holds the keys to the doors.
Ah, so he's keeping you prisoner here.
Yes.
Right.
It's not a complicated trap.
That's what I did wonder about that, whether you were just like easily led.
We came here lured under the pretense of incredibly low market rent in the Greater London area. We were wrong! Yeah.
There's always something weird where they're like, oh, underpriced rent, nice. It's like only for pretty ladies. Yeah. You're like, no, I don't think I'll stay there.
Price went, but only if I can wash
it. It was marketed as house elf friendly, but it was house elf unfriendly.
There's two more rooms on this floor. I still want to explore this place properly before we head down to the cellar for a confrontation.
The other rooms.
No, there's only three. The cinema, the dining room, and the kitchen.
Very well, you check the opposite room.
Yep.
The door opens. It pulls open quite easily. You see another glow, but this one is bright. It's lurid.
Ew.
There is a chair, an empty chair. Bryn, you opened the door. Pull me a block.
Oh, dear.
Oh.
Bad choice.
Oh. Hey. Oh, my goodness me.
Oh.
Oh! No, I didn't.
I'm sorry that we're this good, Alex.
I'm astonished that you're actually running out of possible moves. For listeners, we're at that state of it where you look at it and you run up the rows and you go 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, 2-1, and you're just running out of possible moves.
I will tweet an image.
Oh, please do. Okay. So, Bryn, you head in, and the glow from the screen is incredibly appealing. I'm sure I've played that MMO before. It pulls you in.
Unlikely. I've never played any.
It's based on single player mechanics that lure you in. You're pulled in slowly, going single player. Oh, it's multiplayer. Oh, but it's not annoying, and I get to choose when the party picks me and when I pick the party. I might even go solo occasionally.
Do you have some unresolved issues with MMOs?
It sucks you in, and you are pulled into the chair just as you feel you might lose yourself to it forever. James plucks you from it and goes, no, I'm not really into games, and then pulls you out of the room.
And the last room?
The final room. You go past the stairs. You enter the double doors, pull a block.
Roll me a Jenga. For listeners at home, if you want a very permissive Jenga boss, Alex is great. You're allowed to take ones right from the top.
How are you all alive? Right.
I don't know.
You open the doors and find yourself in a study. It's a semicircular room. The semicircle part of it, sort of the curved bit, is windows, floor to ceiling bay windows looking out over a large estate.
Oh.
However, there is still rolling mist, and occasionally it comes, occasionally it goes. But you can definitely see that there's a good, well manicured garden out there.
Yeah, we definitely can't afford this place.
Yeah. There is a desk in the middle of the room and two chairs. There are also bookcases.
Documents.
Remove a block!
No. Oh, desk death? Oh. No. Oh my god! That's insane!
I am invincible!
Bryn, you check the desk. As you pull it open, a dagger shoots out from one of the handles. It is dripping a green liquid.
Oh.
You avoid it because, like I said before, you're quite quick, actually.
Yep.
And looking in, you find papers. Do you read the papers?
Yeah.
You begin to read the papers. The first one you see is a plan. It appears to be a business plan. It's incredibly unfeasible and based entirely upon podcasting.
Guys, I think I know who the bad guy is.
Looking through, you also find a series of poorly written and instantly crossed out titles such as Crusty Quill, Dusty Quill. The list goes on. They get worse.
So what do we know Alex's weaknesses are? Well, we know that he doesn't like food. Basically,
that's true. Having had him as a flatmate, his weakness is anything that might even vaguely promote health or ward off the onset.
He's terrible at directions.
Yeah,
he gets lost very easily, and he helps other people get lost.
Doesn't really sleep much either.
He's crippled by an envy of facial hair that he's years away from being able to replicate. That's my
voice comes out as if from nowhere. It's not crippling. I'm quite fine. I don't want a beard anyway.
Yeah. Well, the thing is that by admitting that and coming out of the silence and saying that, actually, all you've really done is highlight your original craving.
There is no response.
Oh. We're playing double negatives now, aren't we? Is that what we're doing? Is that what we're doing? Because now you're just highlighting by
Shall we head down to the basement?
Yeah, let's go to the basement. Alex, I might be slightly late for a recording session if you don't come out and meet us.
There's one more comment, as if from nowhere. Never again, Gideon, never again. So presumably head down the stairs to the basement. You head down the stairs.
I'll go first again.
Remove a block.
Whoa!
Oh, for goodness sake. This is getting invisible. There's magnets in this.
This is the most stable game of
I thought what I'd do is I'd have a game of Dread where no one dies! Everyone's a winner! Yay! So, there is a door to the left, and there is a door to the right, and there is a door immediately in front of you at the base of the stairs. What do you do? There is a low hum coming from the door to the left, and there is a scritching and a scratching coming from the room on the right. There is nothing coming from the room at the far end.
Clearly the centre door.
The centre door, you try it?
Yep.
Remove a block.
No!
Suddenly, spikes shoot out from the walls. They pierce you in your neck, your torso, your legs. The voice cries out, I never needed three of you anyway. Really, I only needed two at best, and I can probably make it work with one. In your dying moments, Bryn, what do you do?
Tell my parents I love them.
Nice. We'll write it down.
We'll pass that on.
Right, yeah. Bye, Bryn. Sad, sad times.
Bryn, you're dead. How do you feel?
Relieved. I embrace the peaceful quiet.
Sweet
of death.
Do you find that the afterlife is like the diary room?
It's much like the sleep I was craving at the beginning of the game. It prevents it from enjoying.
So, as Bryn expires beneath your feet, there is a door to your left with a low hum. There is a door to your right with a scritching and a scratching. And there is a door immediately in front of you, which appears silent as the grave.
Well, I mean, he is a scritchy scratcher rather than a hummer.
But he has been a very quiet flatmate over the years, so I'm
you're
tempted
gonna
by
go
the silent
door. Okay, let's silent it up.
Because he's probably left some electronic device on in the humming room.
Sounds plausible.
And he's not that fond of cats or animals. Oh no, hang on, you are, aren't you?
But it's in the Greater London area, there's no way that the cat would be allowed due to the leasehold.
There is that issue, yeah. Silent door?
Yep, silent door.
Silent door. I march manfully forward and open the silent door.
You encounter a combination lock. If you need to open it, you will be removing three blocks.
I am going to remove three blocks.
Hooray.
Because the password is always Rosebud.
I think you find it Swordfish.
Or Swordbud.
Swordbud.
Or Rosefish.
Boom, somebody's got a Mac.
You successfully open the combination lock door. It opens. Clearly it needs some WD-40.
It's a body snatcher.
Inside, you see a dark room, but there is a glowing pentagram upon the floor. The uplighting, as you grow accustomed to it, reveals a table. Upon it is apparently a podcasting setup for RPGs. There are four chairs, and there are boom mics, but really expensive ones.
Oh, nice.
It's a dedicated studio, apparently. Made, spared, no expense.
This is a very heavily fictionalised account, isn't it?
And there are little name badges on each chair. One said Ben, it's scratched out. Oh. Another one says Bryn, it's also somehow scratched out. There are now two chairs remaining. One says James, one says Lydia. There is apparently a one-way mirror at the far end of the room.
Where's the seat for the GM? Where's that?
Yeah. Oh, good point. Good point.
Where indeed? Behind the glass, there is only darkness.
I smash the glass with my candlestick.
Remove four blocks.
Four blocks.
Ooh.
Nice.
There we go.
You throw the candle sconce. It slams against the glass. The glass cracks but does not shatter.
Oh, come on, I took four blocks out.
I know.
I smashed the glass again with a big heft with both hands.
Very well, remove three more blocks.
Oh, come on.
I sit in my chair.
Yeah, yeah.
Last block, James. You're a machine.
Yeah.
This is insane.
Boom, three.
The glass shatters.
Yay, good. Go James, well done.
Thanks, it was a team effort, I thought.
Revealing a recording studio, a panel with thousands and thousands of buttons and sliders. Something that no one in their right mind could ever afford, but apparently could in this one fictionalized universe.
Alex, come out of the walls, give us the keys and let us out of this spooky mansion or I will smash everything in this room. Every expensive item of audio recording equipment in this room with this massive candlestick. You know I can do it.
I come in and I start like, oh look, I'm changing a setting.
Ooh.
No, no.
Switch out some wires.
I pick up one of the microphones and do Bertie's voice straight into it at full volume.
Both of you remove a
mark. Now clear your throat aggressively.
That's actually less disgusting than when you do it for
Both
real.
Of you remove three blocks then.
Are there even three blocks here that we can take
I really
out?
Hope not.
There's two of mine.
You're running out of permutations now.
Oh no, you didn't. Oh, James went for the bottom row.
The very bottom.
That's very difficult.
Bam. That's my three done.
And mine.
Oh!
We are amazing. High five. Yeah.
Okay, the Jenga didn't fall from the high five. So, yeah, James, you begin. You begin faffing with things, twisting settings, moving sliders.
Twiddling knobs,
a podgy hand comes out from the darkness. It's mottled and pale from years of editing alone. It reaches out and goes, no, stop it, please, stop it. What is it? Why can you not just do what you're told? Why won't you just RPG for other people's enjoyment? The hand reaches out and slams down on a red button. A steel shutter slams down so he can no longer see the studio. A steel shutter slams down at the entrance from which you came in. The voice comes over the speakers, which were hidden all along. You forced my hand, guys. I only need one person to make a podcast. Only one of you may leave. I can wait as long as I have fast food from my elves. How long can you wait? You will find weapons in the cupboard behind you. I will be recording this for a listening audience.
That was a grim audience.
Well, I
think the Hunger Games have got you covered, mate.
This isn't technically a copyright infringement, so it's okay.
Yeah. I mean, we still haven't ruled out the possibility that we could just smash all the audio equipment here.
I think. So we're going to smash the equipment.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
We are going to smash the equipment.
That's fine.
That was our original threat, to which we feel you haven't sufficiently responded.
Yeah, fine with that. So I would just like ram the shotgun into things.
Remove. Four blocks each.
Oh, good.
There are not four blocks each.
He has made the system significantly more robust than last time you played around with it.
No! It turns out the shotgun was loaded all along. I was smashing it up with the button. I'm like, oh, this is fun. Look at me smashing things. I can be late now. Smash, smash,
as Lydia smashes with the shotgun,
smash.
James tries to dual wield in his left hand a candle sconce, in the right a bullet. He hits the console with the bullet. It accidentally fires straight between Lydia's eyes.
Ow!
It plops out at the back and there's like this total Tarantino spray of blood all over the back wall. She slumps down and gets some last words, despite the fact that the bullet went through her brain. There might be a small amount of aphasia.
It's got to be final words that your brain stem is capable of producing.
Bye, James.
Over the speakers you hear. You were always my favourite, James.
That isn't true, though, is it?
It's not true. It's a fictionalised universe, James. The steel grating opens, revealing a hand that slowly becomes an arm, becomes a face, as the hideous monstrosity that is. Alex leans forward and goes, we could be great, James, you and I. Think about it. a facial hair grooming podcast hosted by you, a hairband appreciation podcast hosted by you. I might even let you compare occasionally, but I'll probably get externals in because I don't really trust you in a position of responsibility. We could be great, James, you and I. His quivering folds of flesh and his extra tightly stretched anime t-shirt belie his otherwise seemingly open offer for cooperation. What do you do?
What's your revenue model looking like?
We don't need revenue, James. We're popular, that's all that matters, James. What do you do, James?
I accept the offer. I accept the offer. Yes, and...
It's not the worst stand-up gig you've done.
No, capitalism won, and that was the scary, terrifying ending.
But it didn't. I mean, like, you know, it's profit-seeking. There's been no profit anywhere in this episode. And that's...
Hey, somehow he's affording the house.
Very well. James accepts the offer. They go into business together. They release loads of podcasts. None of them are profitable. So you release more podcasts. The years pass. You grow withered and jaded. All
more
of the fans.
Withered.
More withered. You grow more withered and jaded. Occasionally a fan will go, wow, what you do is really interesting, but you find it harder and harder to pretend that you are doing it by choice, and you realize on your deathbed you wasted your life. Podcasting. Podcasting, James. And alone and upset, you expire.
I quite like our listeners.
Yeah. And that's the end of our Halloween episode. And yeah, I do actually really like everyone, by the way.
They're lovely.
Just FYI.
Apart from Ben, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, Ben, yeah. Dead to me.
And everyone else, but only in this fictionalized universe.
But yes, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed this special Halloween episode.
And we've learned a lot about Alex.
And I've learned that you really have to rig the game hard if you want people dying. Like,
it's a problem when you're dealing with people that are as exceptionally skilled and gifted as those you have assembled.
Yeah.
Got very nimble fingers.
It's hard being this awesome.
Yeah.
Right, well, that's it. So we hope you have a very spooky Halloween.
Ooh.
See you soon.
Don't have nightmares.
Or do.
Or have if you like, maybe
like
have nightmares.
Interesting nightmares.
Yes.
Ones that reveal useful things about your subconscious.
Ooh. But not ones that are like really stressful anxiety-related dreams resulting in night terrors.
You have a thing to hand in tomorrow and you haven't started.
You're naked in a classroom. Ooh.
Bye, guys.
Rusty Quill Gaming is a podcast distributed by RustyQuill.com and licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial International License. Today's episode was recorded and produced by Alexander J. Newell. To comment on episodes, make donations, and view links, images, videos, and show notes, visit RustyQuill.com. Rate and review us on iTunes. Visit us on Facebook. Tweet us on Twitter at TheRustyQuill or email us at mail@RustyQuill.com. Thanks for listening.
If I tried my eggs, I thought, like, it was the same when I thought I'd be a chicken, just to see what it would be like. I can't force an egg out my cloaca.
Cloaca's always in the last place I check, that's the thing.
Yeah.
So.
Down the side of the safe, there's coins jammed up in it.
We'll take a break here and be back in a couple of minutes. It's quite hard to make Coke sound scary.
Spooky Coke. About the
South
sugar.
American trade union activist, obviously, in which case it's very easy to make Coca-Cola sound scary. We're an Indian groundwater supply, in which case it's very easy to make Coke sound scary.
Or you've got diabetes.
We'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Or your PepsiCo.
Or what if it's frozen and used as a weapon?
Yeah. Object.
Very scary.
Yeah.
Right.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi everyone, it's Helen here, the voice of Azu, Enola and Laverne. Today, I'm here to tell you about Woe Begone, a podcast launched on the RQ Network. Woe Begone is a weekly horror sci-fi audio drama series about the nature of power and the implications of linear time. Woe Begone follows Mike Walters, who discovers a mysterious and violent online game. What begins as an exploration of an alternate reality game with real-life consequences quickly becomes a search for the technology that makes the game possible. Each episode has a unique soundtrack composed by creator and writer Dylan Griggs. Listen to Woe Begone, spelled Woe, period, Begone, wherever you listen to podcasts. Or check out woebegonepod.com for episodes and transcripts. Have fun and see you later.